Welcome to the Sunday morning services at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday, the last Sunday of October 28th, 1984. The Lord bless as we worship together on this beautiful Lord's Day. At this time, our choir is going to sing a number. If you'd like to follow the words in the songbook, it's page 445. Jesus loves even me. He does. He loves you. He loves us in spite of ourselves. Jesus loves even me. As Brother Tom comes to lead the choir. On page 446, it says, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. This time we'd like to ask Brother Sutton to come to read our scripture this morning. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 10. While he's coming up, we'd like to mention these prayer requests. As I mentioned a while ago, we do want to be praying for the Godsey family and the Blair and Parson families during their loss of their loved ones. Let's be praying for this service today. I feel that God is going to do a great work in someone's life this morning, some people's lives. I know Brother Rosenbaum, who held our meetings last week, 14th through the 21st. He's praying for us today, I'm sure, as we would pray for him. He is in London today, beginning a revival over there in the church. Let's be praying for Brother Rosenbaum as well as for each one of us as we fellowship here today in this service. Let's also remember Ward and Mary Lou Honchel in the illness of their little baby. We know God's able to bring it out if it be His will. And also, Adam and Francis are in Lexington today with Adam's sister, whose baby is similar to Ward and Merle's baby. I think it's in the hospital down there. And to be praying for them. And also, others here listed in our bulletin, Ms. Campbell and John and Lucy Talby. And each of these others that are listed here in our bulletin. Brother Sutton, you come and read our scripture and lead us in prayer, please.
Get your Bible and go up to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 to 10. Matthew 25, 1 to 10. And shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto the 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom? And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Let's go on prayer, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, this Sabbath day. We thank this day not only a day of rest, but a day that we can find ourselves honoring our Lord and Savior. We thank when many blessings come our way. We thank for life and health. May some of us may be weak in body, but we pray and ask our good Lord that we can be strengthened to our every day's closest with thee. We pray for the sick and afflicted, that one's lost loved one, we pray they'll be recovered through the loss of their loved one. We pray for the ones in the hospital and the ones in the nursing home, and we pray for the leaders of our country. We pray that we get together and solve some of our problems, that we can have a better place to live. We pray that we'll go on through this service today. There should be someone in the Lord's house that hasn't accepted thee. We pray that we examine ourselves and come and accept thee before it's everlasting too late. Life's so short and uncertain, and how sweet it is that we have our names placed with our assurance that we have a home waiting for us, that we have our names placed up there. Go with us through the remainder of this day and forgive us for our shortcomings. In Christ's name we ask you. Amen.
Okay, for our last hymnal this morning, let's turn to page 304. And let's stand and sing first, second, and fourth stanzas of Higher Ground, page 304.
Lord, plant my feet.
ask Brother Burns to lead us in prayer, please, for the offering.
Lord, we thank Thee for another opportunity that we can come together and serve Thee and worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank Thee, Lord, for all who have come this way this morning. We pray that they have come for no other reason but to worship the amazing God. Lord, now we ask Thee if we think of this offering that may be used to glorify Thy name and giver, that they may give with a free and a loving heart. And I realize now, Father, that that they are to give because we read in the Bible where it says better to give than to receive. For with us now the remainder of this service is our prayer in Christ's name.
Song, pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. The Lord is in the business of fixing people up, giving them a new heart, a new purpose in living. Tom and Fred are going to come to sing, and maybe Debbie also, I don't know, at this time before the message.
Put the words to Sandy's song now.
Because
Every one of us here today are going somewhere. I trust it's home to be with the Lord. This morning we'd like to speak from these verses that Brother Sutton read for us in Matthew 25. And take for one of our key verses, the 10th verse. And there's one also in Genesis chapter 7 that we're going to look at, as there are two key verses for today. First of all, in Genesis 7, first book of the Bible, this tells us about Noah, the eighth person who went into the ark. Noah preached 120 years and only got his family in. Before the flood came, it says in verse 16 of Genesis 7, "And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." What one word is in that verse three times? In. Someone wrote a song, "I had rather be on the inside looking out than to be on the outside looking in." They went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, as God had commanded Noah, and the Lord shut him in. Matthew 25:10 says, "And while they went to buy, the five foolish virgins who were not ready," it says, while they went to buy, "the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him," with the bridegroom, a picture of Jesus. They went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The Lord shut Noah in. And here in the parable of the wedding, the five foolish, the five wise virgins, it says, and the door was shut. Let's look to the Lord right now in another word of prayer. Father, this morning we want you to get the victory in this service. We just commit our lives, Lord, afresh into your hands, that you would use each word that we say to lift up and to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We know he is the reason that we're here today, is to lift him. And may truly he be seen this morning. We thank thee for the songs that we've sung today, and Lord, we just pray that someone here would see their need of thee and come and allow the wonderful Holy Spirit to come and possess their soul, be born again, as they invite the Lord Jesus Christ into their life. Father, we thank thee there is still an opportunity to be saved. We're still living in the day of grace, where people can be saved by grace through faith. May this service, Lord, be all that you'd have it to be, as we continue to worship thee in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. You know, it's a blessing today to know that the door of opportunity is still wide open. It's open to, as Revelation, the last chapter, says, whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. Today we want to speak on the closed door. I don't know when the last opportunity for anyone to be saved is going to come. But I'd say this, upon the authority of God's Word, you should not shove the Lord aside, the Holy Spirit aside, when he is dealing with your life. It is dangerous. Brother Rosenbaum mentioned that he feels that is the unpardonable sin. As you shove the Holy Spirit who is dealing with your life, shove him aside. I read somewhere where a fellow had gone to a revival service, and as he was walking down the road home, God, the Holy Spirit, was still dealing with him. He had left that service unsaved. And he said to God, if you will leave me alone, I will leave you alone. He sealed his destiny right there. God never did bother him anymore. God, the Holy Spirit, never did convict him of his sins anymore. He was lost. I believe today there are people living in Perry County that have said no the last time already. You know what Genesis 6 says? Before the flood came, it says that God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. And God gave man another 120 years to repent, and they didn't. You're in Noah's day. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad that God had a man. I'm glad back there in Genesis 6 that God had a man who would stand and preach. The Bible tells us, and I believe it's in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, and God spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah went in. The five wise virgins went in to the marriage. You know what? Someday the last soul is going to be saved. The last name is going to be inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know when that's going to be, but I know this, the Lord is coming. The rapture of the church is going to take place. When 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and following is going to be a reality. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Heard a fellow on the radio this morning speaking about heaven. And he said heaven was up. The Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive, Paul believed that there will be people on this earth alive, and I believe there will be people on this earth alive when Jesus comes again. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says that we shall not all sleep. It says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Eternity. I wonder if you have ever thought about being on the outside of a door that would never, never, never be opened again to admit you. The door is going to close someday. The door of opportunity. In the first book of the Bible, it talks about the Lord shutting Noah in. In the first book of the New Testament, it says that the Lord shut the door. The door was shut on the five virgins and the bridegroom. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation, it tells us, behold, I stand at the door and knock. There are many people's doors today closed. Their heart's door is closed. I was down visiting Ms. Rader before she died, had a Bible class with her. And she had a big picture of Jesus. He was knocking at the heart's door. Whoever painted that picture knew what they were doing. Because there was no latch on the outside. You know how you can open your heart's door? By lifting the latch from the inside, by faith. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. There's that word in again. I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Friends, you'll never regret the day you invite Jesus in. I would not close my heart's door against the Holy Spirit anymore. I'd allow him to come into my life if I were here and lost. It says the Lord shut him in, and they that were ready went in with him. The marriage and the door was shut. Someday in heaven there is going to be a marriage. And to have a marriage, you must have at least two parties, a bride and a bridegroom. And Jesus is our wonderful bridegroom. The church is always referred to by she or her. The bride. In the book of Revelation, it tells us about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Where Jesus will gird himself and serve us. First of all, let's look today in Genesis at the closed door in Noah's day. In verse 5 of Genesis 6, it tells us, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and as every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They were living in troubled times back there in Genesis 6. It says there were giants in the earth. You know what? There are giants in the earth today, in the 20th century. There are giants in the 1980s. And I believe verse 5 describes our nation, our world as a whole. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. But you know, verse 8 tells us, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said to Noah, there's going to be a flood. It had never rained. It had never rained on this earth. There was a mist came up and watered the ground. My friends, when Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives got in that ark, and the Lord shut them in, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. I believe that as much as I believe this is made out of wood. I believe in Noah's flood. I believe it happened. And God started over again with the human race, with 8 people. 4 couples, God started the race over again. It repented God that he had made man on the earth. But I'm glad God had a man. And that verse we read there in 2 Peter tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. As he made that ark out of gopher wood, he must have preached to the people who came around and mocked him. We don't know. Probably people came around and mocked Noah. A man building an ark, a boat out here, and it hasn't rained since time began. But Noah was obeying God. And I say this upon the authority of God's word, we had better obey the Lord. We better obey him. The Bible tells us, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Noah built the ark and preached for 120 years and only got his family saved. They went in. And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. They have made a film on the search for Noah's ark. You know, where they find it or not, I believe in the flood. It's in Turkey, they say, on Mount Ararat. That's where the Bible says it came to rest. Where they find that ark or not, the Bible says that Noah went in and his family and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut him in. Look what happens in Genesis chapter 7. Let's turn to Genesis 7 and read a few verses there before we get into Matthew 25. Verse 19, Genesis chapter 7, it says, Genesis 7:19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, cattle, beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land. Died. The last part of verse 23 says, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. I want to read that last part of verse 23 again. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. I would say to each one of us, if we have not gotten in to the ark of safety yet, get in. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves even me. Each one of us can say the words of that song. Jesus loves you. A young minister one time was ridiculed by a skeptic. And he said to the young minister, you did well. But you know, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe in the infallibility of God's Word. And the young minister said, it is appointed unto me and wants to die, and after this, the judgment. The skeptics kept arguing, and the young minister kept repeating, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto me and wants to die, and after this, the judgment. These words burned into the heart of that man. And he didn't sleep much that night. The next morning he came to the minister's home. And he said, I can't get rid of that verse. It is appointed unto me and wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Tell me what I must do to be saved. And that man left that young minister's home a Christian. He got in the ark. The song we sang a while ago says, a shelter in the time of storm. The Lord today is the ark of safety. And if you have never come into Him, if you've never invited Him into your heart, today is the time. In Matthew 25, we have the parable of the wedding feast, the parable of the marriage, the 10 virgins. 5 of these, 10 were wise and 5 were foolish. Did you know what? The Lord, the Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knows each one of us here this morning who are His, who belong to Him. Half of these were ready for the marriage, and half were unprepared. Jesus told a parable one time about another wedding. And you know what? There was a man at that wedding who did not have on a wedding garment. You know what they did? They came to him and said, sir, why don't you have on a wedding garment at this wedding? He did not say one word on his own behalf. He went into outer darkness for this weeping and gnashing of teeth. There are going to be people come to Jesus that day and say at the great white throne judgment, well, we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name we cast out devils, and in thy name we did many wonderful works. And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. I believe this upon God's word today. If the Lord ever knew you as one of His children, He'll know you when He comes again. And you're going to go up at the rapture. We're going to know Him someday. We're going to know Him in the fullness because we're going to see Him as He is. Don't lay up for time and forget about eternity. Jesus told a parable about a fellow, He called him a fool. He said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich in that direction. Not rich toward God. Many times the people with the least here on this earth are the happiest. At Cedar Moore, yesterday morning, we saw some slides taken in Kenya, Africa. Brother Robert C. Jones has been over there laying the groundwork. Kentucky pastors and directors of missions are going to Kenya next year. They're begging for people to come over there and help them. And Brother Robert Jones showed some slides yesterday morning of Kenya, Africa, and the desperate need they had getting to know the Lord and coming to know Him. People with nothing, as far as this world is concerned, coming to know Jesus, and then they'll have everything. Everything they need. It says here, they that were foolish took their lamps. All they had there was themselves. It says they took no oil with them. Oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And today, friends, if you do not know Jesus in the free pardon of your sin, you do not have the Holy Spirit. Because Romans 8 says, he that has not the Spirit of God is none of his. How do we know we're saved this morning? His Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that we are the children of God. This past Thursday night, we were at Roger and Pam's home, and did you know what? Before we knew it, an hour and a half had gone by. I appreciate them today and their willingness to get in and help us fight the devil here in this community. We need more who will come to know Jesus in a real way. Someday you're going to be able to go in. Our names are already in the Lamb's Book of Life if we're saved. We know Jesus. The five foolish only took their lamps and took no oil with them. I tell you, what good is a lamp unless you have some oil in it? What good is a light if it does not shine? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. What if Jesus came back today at 12 noon, 8 minutes or so from right now, Eastern Standard Time? What if Jesus came back at 12 noon today? Would you be ready? Do you know for certain that your name is where it should be on the Lamb's Book of Life?